That's something one of the channels from Harvest Hope. And I work with Ruth.
Yeah.
And at Project Hope.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, everyone knows Ruth. And in fact, we had some meetings with your Project Ash, your organizational leadership in the last few years. They were just at USAID and running in a different direction and spoke about it.
I didn't know who they met.
So. So, yeah, we had a whole meeting. They wanted to meet with Henrietta Ford, and she couldn't meet them. Nonetheless, it was. Nonetheless, she couldn't, so there was a whole group of us.
I just wanted to come to the
side. Okay. Good afternoon. Well, thank you all for coming. This is the session entitled 20 Years of Safe Motherhood in Africa, Back to the Beginning. And this is the last session, so we did not anticipate a lot of you coming. And so thank you very much for being here. Unless you're the next person just for future sessions, you know. We also have been informed that Munir Islam, who is the director of Safe Motherhood Initiative at WHO, he was unable to come because of another last-minute conflict. And Ambassador Ali was called early this week to go to travel to Namibia for some human rights consultation on behalf of the AU. So we have been blessed to have Anna Kechi, who is from AfriCare, but she is representing Ambassador Ali in this meeting to give us an overview of where does African Union as a multilateral entity stand on these issues. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be Munir Islam for 5 minutes to give you an overview of why we have this session, and then I will. So my name is Shahul Ibrahim. I'm the United States Health Attaché to the African Union, representing the U.S. government activities in the African continent, assigned to African Union, our embassy in Addis Ababa. And my job is to make things like this happen, informing the American public about health issues in the continent, also helping the African Union take up more challenges. Naza is from the USAID, and she will tell more about her, you know, when she comes up to the podium. And Anna, as I mentioned, is working for AfriCare, an agency based in Washington. So, again, the purpose of this session, as you all know, I think probably I'm preaching to the choir, maternal mortality remains almost nearly at the same levels in the African region in the last two decades. I think probably about 50% at least of the maternal mortality in the world still remains in the African continent, and it is a preventable cause of mortality. We have other major initiatives, but somehow maternal mortality probably hasn't received that much of attention as other causes received. And so this is an attempt to elevate, you know, that discussion, and also to somehow try to excite APHA members to pay more attention to some of these unaddressed or forgotten issues. So again, the same statistics in a more graphic way. The African continent is 54 countries, and majority of the top-ranking countries in the world for maternal mortality is in that region. And if you look at this, you know, few examples of top countries, you know, the only outlier there, number two is Afghanistan for maternal mortality. In countries like Sierra Leone, the lifetime risk of dying from a maternal cause, that is giving birth, is 1 in 6. And it goes up to 14 in Mozambique. And you can imagine that maternal mortality is virtually non-existent in our part of the world. I shouldn't say it is eradicated, but we, the OECD countries have the lowest burden. And if you look at the right column, the percentage of deaths among women of childbearing age who die from pregnancy causes, it's almost, some countries, up to 50%. Look at chart, 50% of the deaths among women of our age is from pregnancy causes, and these are totally preventable. And one reason, of course, is lack of skill attendance. If you look at the last column, there is some sort of correlation between what percentage of pregnancies are attended by skilled attendants and resultant maternal mortality. So it's not something new, it's not rocket science. Essentially, the challenge has been that there has not been that much of heightened attention paid to this initiative. And there are structural micro-social issues which goes along with this, but doesn't mean that it is not doable. We have seen a lot of other countries like Indonesia, state of Kerala, India, Sri Lanka, and other countries, despite a very low capacity, they have achieved tremendous developments in reversing or avoiding maternal mortality. And we would like to have some sort of that kind of attention paid to the causes in the African region. So this is just another comparison, you know, again, skilled attendance at birth. You would see that they are significantly higher. It's almost 60% of pregnancies or deliveries in developed part of developing countries attended by skilled attendant, and their risk of dying is quite low compared to the North African region, excluding the Arab countries, you know, where it is average 15. Now, that also translates to infant mortality, of course. You know, if the mother is dead, of course, the infant's survival is quite challenging, and almost 56% of the neonatal mortality can be attributed to maternal mortality. In other words, if mother survived, you know, about 56% of the infant mortality would be prevented. And these are some of the top countries. You could see that they all correlate. Again, a map which is showing under 5 mortality rate is the persistent burden in these African countries. And when you talk about causes of maternal mortality, bleeding still remains probably perhaps the leading cause of maternal mortality in these countries, and we have several interventions available. If we have enough providers to provide that emergency obstetric care, and if we have some of this services available for either to provide medications or manually remove the placenta, the almost, as I said, this is not rocket science, you know, this is preventable, the opportunities are there, and there has been some development, but, you know, several of these countries, they still remain a challenge. So we have supply obstacles, that means lack of, we believe that about only 15% of pregnancies will have a complication. And the 85% of pregnancies can be actually handled by if we have trained skilled attendants at delivery, like midwives or nurses, and we don't have that. The sad situation is that we don't have that capacity, and forget about the 15% saturation with more tertiary level care providers like physicians or nurses with who can supplement physicians' role, like clinical assistance, we call, in the African region. Demand obstacles, there are countries like, you know, the North African countries where going to clinic may require, you know, the husbands or the fathers or the family consent, and a lot of challenges on that, but that is manageable if we have creative social engineering programs. The thing is, if you demand, if you increase the demand, of course, you have to have complementary supply increase, and unless we do that, it is probably too early to improve demand. And policy obstacles, you know, to give ownership and for the leadership of these countries to take it as a national cause, you know, something which they believe is where development is determined by these things. That needs to happen at the policy level. And these are some of the solutions, which again are not rocket science, and I think Nazo is going to refer to a couple of these positive stories we have. And again, how much we need and what we gain. If we, for example, if you look at Sierra Leone, this is again for ideal emergency obstetric care. How much does it cost? At $3, at the World Bank estimate of $3 per person in the least developed countries, you know, $17.4 million. And if you look at the overall mothers and babies benefited, about 172,000. Per year, and we have this estimates. It is not always huge. Look at Guinea-Bissau; it's only $4 million. So it's not billions; it is in millions. And it doesn't mean that once you have this money, hand out this money, it can be achieved overnight. Although we have the estimates, but the thing is, you need to train staff, which cannot be done overnight. It's not like handing out a pill or a mosquito net or antiretrovirals. You know, it has to be a system development. But once and countries have done it, and we have the solutions at hand, what we need is a new energy and new impetus, you know, to take it as a national cause and go and do it. And, you know, to forget that, you know, it is one of the Millennium Development Goals, number 5 out of the 8 goals. Number 5 is reducing maternal mortality by 2/3 in these target countries. So with that preamble or introduction of the big picture, I would turn over the floor to Nazo for the rest of the presentation, and then we'll have Anna Kechi from the African Union perspective, you know, a couple of new developments, and she will give an overview. Thank you.
Thank you very much for making time for this session. It's the last day, and so it shows that this topic is of quite a lot of importance to you all, as it is to us. Mary Ellen Stanton at USAID could not be here, and Lily Kak was also in Geneva right now attending a postnatal care meeting, which is quite important, which is where I suspect Munir Islam is also. Anyway, they couldn't be here, but I'm delighted to be here. I've been working on safe motherhood for over a decade. It's an area of work that is very close to me personally, and it's an area which is we are addressing in a systematic and robust manner at USAID. So I look forward to sharing a few of the details with you.